Okay. So we are continuing, as Simon said, in our series on the Lord's Prayer. The small group notes are there for those who need them. So we're in Matthew chapter 6. So if you need a Bible, you want to stick your hand up. And in the church Bibles, it's on page 970. We've seen that Jesus' disciples, they come to him and they say, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And he gives them this short and simple but extremely significant model of prayer. And it goes like this. He says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Over the last few weeks, we've seen that there are six petitions in this prayer. The first three are focused upon God, and the next three are focused upon ourselves. And last week, we looked at the first of those three that were focused on ourselves, which was, give us today our daily bread. And we just saw how practical that prayer was, that Jesus was instructing us to pray for the basic necessities of life. It was something that he instructed us to do, to pray for bread, for food, for shelter, for water. And by doing so, we are doing two important things, that we're acknowledging our total dependence upon God, that he's the source of all things, and everything that we have comes from his hand. And we're also guarding our hearts against ingratitude and self-sufficiency, that we somehow think that we do this ourselves, and we provide these things for ourselves. Now that's a necessity. He says pray for those practical necessities. But in today's, we're looking at another important necessity. Today we're looking at, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus instructs us to daily pray for forgiveness and daily action forgiveness. He's basically instructing us to keep short accounts with God and with one another. And it's important that we remember that this prayer is for believers. It's a prayer that he gives to his disciples. It's a prayer that he gives to followers. Because some may think, well, when we become a Christian, surely we ask God to forgive us, and he forgives us and he forgives everything that we're ever going to do, and we don't have to pray again. But Jesus makes this clear, that's not how it works. We're to regularly ask God to forgive us, and we're to regularly forgive others. And we have to do it because as we walk through this life, I may just pick this up because you know I tend to wander occasionally. As we walk through this life, we get dirty feet, don't we? We mess up. We do things and we say things that are not right sometimes. In fact, we do quite a lot, don't we? You know, it's so easy to do that. You know, it'd be nice if that as soon as we became Christians that we never did anything wrong again. That we never said anything wrong again. That we were just angelic, perfect people. Now, I know there may be a few of us, but the reality is that's not true, is it? As we walk through life, our feet get dirty, they get smelly. We're constantly offending one another by the things we do and by the things that we say. And so important that we learn to receive and we learn to give, extend forgiveness. And two reasons. One, because it reflects God's character. It's who he is. He's a God who forgives. He's a God who's gracious. He's a God who's merciful. He's a God who is loving. And we imitate him when we choose to forgive. And forgiveness is a choice. And it really is a choice in some situations when it goes against our feelings. But the other thing it does too is it releases us from bondage. Giving and receiving forgiveness leads us into freedom. And that's a precious place to be. Why is it so important? Because it affects us in so many different ways. It affects us relationally. In this passage in Philippians, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, which he started, and there are two ladies in the church who have fallen out. And he's pleading with them to sort out their differences, to sort out their issues, because this is not helpful. Disunity in the church. It's really not helpful. And Paul is urging them to put their differences aside and to be at peace with one another. And that's what happens, isn't it? When we fall out with one another, there are barriers that come up against, you know, we just stick these barriers up. I was talking to a lady once who was struggling with, and probably rightly so, with something that someone had done to them. And it took several weeks before they came round to the point where they said, I've forgiven them. I said, that's fantastic. Well done. I said, what did they say? And they said, well, I don't know. I'm never going to speak to them again. So I said, are you sure you've forgiven them? I said, yeah, I've forgiven them. And I'm not going to say anything bad about them, but I'm never going to speak to them again. Not after what they've done. And you realize that actually they've kind of missed part of the point there. That there's a barrier, there's a problem in the relationship. It affects us relationally. And of course, the biggest area where it reflects affects us in particular is with our Father. It affects us spiritually. In this passage in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells the story about the unmerciful servant. And it comes out after Peter makes this comment to Jesus. He says to Jesus one day, he says, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? And being really super spiritual, Peter thinks he is, and thinking that a good godly number is 7, he says, shall I forgive them 7 times? And maybe he's got someone in mind in particular. Maybe there's someone who's irritated him. Maybe it's one of the 12. And he's getting a little bit irritated, and he's thinking 7 times, and then I can just knock this bloke out. And Jesus says to him, not 7 times, Peter, but 70 times 7. Poor old Peter. And he goes on to tell the story about this king who wants to sort out all his debts that's outstanding to him. And he calls this servant in who owes him huge amounts of money. And he says to him, okay, when are you going to pay me? And the servant says, I can't afford it. You know, I haven't got anything. He throws himself down his feet and says, but if you're patient, you know, I'll pay it back. I will. And he owes him thousands of pounds. And there's no chance, no way he's ever going to pay him. And the king has mercy on him. He's compassionate. And he says to him, okay, you go. You be free. I forgive you. I release you from this debt. And this same servant goes out happily, merrily on his way, and he sees another fellow servant who owes him just a few pounds. And he says to the servant, hey, when are you going to give me my money? And the guy says, listen, I'm really tight at the moment. You know, just be patient with me and I'll pay you back. I will, promise. But he says, no, you've had long enough. And he gets him thrown into prison. When the king hears about it, he is so furious. He says, how on earth could you treat your fellow servant like you have after I have forgiven you so much and set you free from this debt? And then he has him thrown into prison. But this is the challenging bit. Jesus, in verse 35 of Matthew 18, says this. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. That God, the Father, will put us in prison when we refuse to forgive. That's not physical prison. And does that mean that we lose our salvation? This is not about salvation. When we come to Christ, we repent of our old life without him, and when we receive him, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. We are set free, we're cleansed, we're forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus that covers us. We're born again. The Spirit lives in us, and we have his seal upon us. It's not about salvation, but it is about fellowship. You see, just as a barrier goes up between us and one another when we fall out with each other, a barrier goes up between us and God. And the close fellowship that we may have known and experienced, the love, the joy, the peace, the excitement that we've had as we've journeyed along with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit wanes and it's no longer there. We cannot hear his voice. And that's what happens. We get put in prison. It's a little bit like this. Kate and I, as you know, have been married over 25 years. And over that time, we've had the occasional disagreement. Only occasional. Because obviously I'm always right. No, we do. Sometimes we row up. I'm sure you're shocked to hear this, but we do. And it can be quite entertaining if you were a fly on the wall, I'm sure. But, you know, if we carried that on and we didn't ask for forgiveness, we didn't sort it out quickly, although, you know, we're still married, you know, there's a kind of barrier between us. There's a frostiness. There's a silent treatment, you know. We're not happy with one another. We're irritated by one another. And, you know, if you carry that on in a marriage, then it can get very desperate. But we're still married. And there are marriages where literally, although people are still married, they're like two different people, two different relationships, two different lives. And it's possible to be like that with God the Father, to lose our fellowship with him. Thirdly, it affects us physically. In Psalm 32, King David, who is called a man after God's own heart, in verse 1 he wrote this, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit." He said they're free. Blessed is the man who walks in forgiveness. Verse 3. But when I kept silent, and he's talking about his sin here with Bathsheba, when I kept silent, when I kept my sin hidden, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as if in the heat of summer. Unforgiveness does two things. When we refuse to forgive others, it just stays within us. It eats us up. Do you know angry people? Angry, bitter, resentful people. It's normally because something's happened to them. Something has been done to them. And they refuse to let go of it. And it's like poison in the blood. And what other people have said and done still controls them because they refuse to let go. Some medical practitioners say that unforgiveness is a disease.
that needs to be treated. But also affects us kind of psychologically. Because when we know that we've done wrong, we have something called guilt. And that weighs heavy upon us, like it did with David here in this passage. It just weighed heavily upon him. He knew he was guilty. And, you know, you can have all kinds of guilt. You can have false guilt, can't you? You know, one of the things which is really weird, it must go back to teenage, early 20s. But every time a police car pulls up behind me, I get so nervous. I've done nothing wrong. I'm driving at the right, correct speed limit. You know, I'm not all over the road. I'm driving perfectly normally, but when it pulls up behind me, I begin to sweat. I don't know what it's like, and I feel guilty. Maybe it was all those years of being stopped when I was on my little scooter or on my Mark 1 Ford Escort, one of the most nickable cars in Britain at the time. And, you know, I kept on getting stopped. Maybe it's something to do with that. But you're going to feel guilty. And then, when I have done something wrong, and I know I've done something wrong, or I said something wrong, you feel so bad. You feel so bad inside. It's not good. And we need to receive, and we need to act. We need to receive. We may need to deal with the thoughts and feelings that I don't deserve this. I don't deserve forgiveness. You know, especially as Christians, what happens is that, you know, when we're following Jesus and then we mess up, the enemy comes and he condemns us. And he says, call yourself a Christian. You're not meant to behave like that. You're not meant to act like that. God couldn't possibly love you. God couldn't possibly forgive you. Now you keep doing this. You keep falling in this way. And he just condemns us. You know, it's the enemy who condemns. In that passage, it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us of the things we do wrong and say wrong, and then draw us to Jesus. But he doesn't come to condemn. He comes to convict and to lead us into freedom. Some of us maybe struggle with receiving because we feel that somehow we should pay for this. That somehow we have to do something in order to be forgiven. And the only thing we need to do is ask for the Father's forgiveness. Ephesians reminds us it's all about grace. It's all about grace. But as well as receiving, we need to act. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, forgiveness is a nice idea until you have someone to forgive. And it's true, isn't it? You know, you can say, hey, Johnny, it's great that you talk about forgiveness and that you want me to forgive those who annoy me and irritate me, but you try living next door to my neighbours. I'm not talking about my neighbours. My neighbours are great. But you try being in my shoes, you may say. You may try going through what I've got to go through. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's Paul commanding us to do just that. In Colossians, Paul again says this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Another command to forgive. And to forgive as the Lord forgave you. How did the Lord forgive you? He gave you freely, didn't he? He gave you freely. He forgives us immediately. You know, when we come to him and we say, Lord, would you forgive me for that? He doesn't go, oh, Bramwell, why are you playing with your phone again? It's you've done it again. It's you again. It's the same thing again and again and again. Why don't you come back next week and I'll think about whether I'm going to forgive you? No, he says, I forgive you. Be free. He forgives us immediately. He doesn't harbor, doesn't keep hold of these things. And he forgives us fully. 1 John says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgives us and cleanses us from 75% of our sins. He forgives us of all our sins and cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. But what does forgiveness actually practically look like for you, maybe? Well, maybe for some of you it's this. It's resisting the temptation for revenge. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Has anyone here ever got revenge? You ever got revenge? So you're going to own up to it? Anyone got revenge? You know, because the question is, how did it make you feel? Because in the past, when I thought I've got my own back, actually, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't leave you with a good feeling that you think it is going to leave you. You see, because I don't think it really works. We think it does, and we play it around in our mind if we can do this to that and that, but it doesn't really work. Maybe forgiveness for you, someone for you who's here today, and maybe it's refusing to keep score. That passage in 1 Corinthians is the passage all about love. Love is patient, love is kind. And it goes on to say, love keeps no record of wrongs. God is love, and he keeps no record of your wrongs. I'm so grateful that he doesn't keep a record of my wrongs, because there would be a big library up in heaven if he did. But he washes it away. When we confess our sins, he doesn't keep a note of it. And yet so often we do, don't we? You ever been in disagreements where you've pulled something out from the past just to make your point? That's not forgiveness. But you did this to me in 1967. But I was only 2. I'm sure you've never done that. Maybe forgiveness would look like this for some of you, praying for those who've hurt you. In Matthew chapter 5. Words of Jesus. He said, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Wow. So where to love them? Where to pray for them? In fact, Jesus goes on even further when he says, actually, you want to do good to them. You don't just want to pray for them, you want to do good to them. You actually want to wish them well. You want to pray that God blesses them. You want to bless your enemies. Wow, that's going on a bit too far, isn't it, Lord? What forgiveness is not? when we talk about forgiveness, it's important we understand this, that forgiveness is not saying what the person or persons did or said was okay and that it didn't matter or it didn't hurt. We're not belittling the situation. You know, when we extend forgiveness, when we release people into forgiveness, and we're not saying that actually, you know, well, I just need to get over it and it was silly, really. You know, no, sometimes what we do to each other is shocking. And what we say to each other is shocking. And it hurts. And it's real. But in that moment, when we choose to forgive and we choose to let go, what we're doing is we're saying, God, I'll hand them over to you. And in return, I just want to be free of this. I don't want to be in this cage. Forgiveness is not waiting for an apology. You know, I've heard people say to me, well, I'll be big enough to forgive them when they're big enough to say sorry. Well, you may be waiting a long time. Jesus didn't wait for an apology. He forgave. And thirdly, forgiveness is not enabling a person's sinful behavior to continue. You know, if you're in an abusive situation, then you can forgive that person, but it doesn't mean you need to remain in it. I believe 100% in marriage, and, you know, one of the joys is if you can see a marriage saved when it's had some pretty tough things to go through, it's a real joy. But I've said this before, that there's been one occasion where I have encouraged, supported someone to leave their partner because they were in an abusive physical, mental, emotional, and sexual relationship which wasn't healthy and wasn't a marriage. You see, some people are toxic. Some people will do you harm. And you can forgive and you can let go, but you do not have to remain. Sometimes we have to leave people in the consequences of their actions until God breaks through to them. Now, when we talk about this, it's not always easy. True forgiveness, total forgiveness requires the work of God in our lives. True forgiveness is not a natural act, it's a supernatural act where we ask God to help us to extend forgiveness to others. But this prayer is such a significant prayer, and he says to his disciples, when you pray, say this, Father, forgive us our trespasses, our sins, our debts, whatever translation you're used to, as we have forgiven those. And he does it because it's a necessity as we journey through this life. About 4 weeks ago, Tessa sent me a message to say that she'd been praying and she really sensed the Lord put on her heart that there's people here who are struggling with this issue. And I just wanted to come up and share a little bit more about that. And I've just been holding it for the last 4 weeks because I kind of felt, I knew this was coming up, and I just felt that this was the moment, that this was the time. So, use this one.
So it's been very strong in my heart, in my spirit, and I saw it like a picture, so to speak, and I saw that I didn't know this was coming up. I didn't know we were going to be talking about forgiveness, but God opened my eyes to see that there are quite a number of us, myself inclusive, who need to do some forgiving, and forgiveness is not easy, honestly. It's quite difficult, and I think we need to learn and subject ourselves daily to being able to learn from God, from the Spirit of God, how to forgive. And so the first thing I want you to take in is that what I'm about to say is actually for people who have been genuinely offended. So you may not need to forgive if you've not been offended anyway. And so you do have genuine reason to be angry. Whatever whoever did to you is painful. Like Johnny said, nobody's going to try to trivialize it. But the most important thing about forgiveness is that it is for my good when I forgive, in every sense of the word. When I forgive, normally you would think when you forgive the person, the offender, the person stands more to gain. But not really. It's for your good. You who is forgiving, who is able to forgive. So I don't want you to think, no, that's not really me. I find it easy to forgive. Not necessarily. Sometimes people do stuff, and we do stuff to people, and we don't think it's anything. Could just be, you know, the way they looked at you, could be the way they responded to your good morning. The person may not even know. But there you are, like Johnny said, you put yourself in a prison of the person's emotions and the person's life. You see the person coming and you go the other way. Yeah, I can see a few smiles. It's resonating. A lot of times, forgiveness is not easy. It may not even be deserved by the offender. But the Bible makes us understand that that's the more reason, the more painful it is, that's the more reason why you need to let go. That's why you need to forgive. There's a scripture, you could look it up later, Romans 5:20. The Message translation particularly makes it clear how sin is no match for aggressive forgiveness. So God actually expects us to forgive aggressively, which is grace. That's exactly what grace is, aggressive forgiveness. There are a few things which I think to myself that sometimes it may be needful for you to actually go and ask for forgiveness of the person you need to forgive. Doesn't sound nice. I mean, they did something wrong to you, so why are you having to go ask them for forgiveness? Because sometimes you need to break the ice. God drew us to himself when we were nothing, when we offended him. That's what the Bible says. That's when he reached out to us. He didn't need to ask us anything. He didn't need to converse with us, but he did. Why? To give us the opportunity for forgiveness. So, and I put it a little differently, but it's saying the same thing as what Johnny just said. Honoring someone's position in your life does not mean that you're endorsing their actions. No, it doesn't. It doesn't make you weaker. It doesn't make you less than they are. Actually, it makes you bigger, in quotes. So you might need to rise above that situation. It could be your boss at work. It could be a friend. It could be a spouse. Could be the guy who just sits or parks his car right in front of your house, and he just keeps doing this thing, and you just don't know what to do about it. So you know what's best for you. Think of the most practical way, but you have to step out of your comfort zone to forgive. Forgiveness is never comfortable for anything. Something has to give for forgiveness to happen. Sometimes the person I need to forgive may not know that they have done me wrong. Or they could know, but simply just not acknowledge it. Or they may simply disregard my effort at forgiving them. In fact, sometimes they could pass across the vibe to you that the need for me to forgive them is just a fiction of my imagination. Sometimes you actually could say to someone, I forgive you, and they say, for what? And it's taken you weeks and months and years to actually get to that point. And you're trying to pass the message across, like, look, I felt really offended at this and that, but I forgive you. And the person says, well, that's your business. How do you deal with that? Sometimes forgiveness is a process that may take time and require detailed attention to be able to let go. But I must never bury offenses. I must let them go the moment that detail comes to mind, regardless of how insignificant it might seem. So it is very important not to push it under the carpet, but bring it up as much as you can, or else you're going to find yourself reflecting certain things in your words, in your thoughts about the person, you know, just passing comments either to yourself or to someone else about the person, or being critical, or you're just not cutting them that slack you should or normally would. So it just starts little by little, then you move on to accusations, and there you are, unforgiveness. And like that scripture says, forgive us as we forgive. If God were to actually forgive us as we forgive, who would stand? Unforgiveness is a miracle stopper. It's a grace blocker. It leaves you vulnerable to attack because it stems the flow of God's blessing. It strips the individual of God's protection. It leaves you open to assault from demons. And it's true. It's like you're just opening up to the devil and you're saying, you know what? I cannot be like God. I can't forgive like he did. Take me, do whatever you want with me. But like we also saw earlier on, forgiveness, being able to forgive, is us mirroring who God, our Father, is. So, and he understands how difficult it is. He does. I mean, he had to forgive us. Think about it. Think of what God had to forgive in just this place. Talk more of the whole world. Yes, he's God and he can do everything, but it doesn't mean he didn't feel it. It doesn't mean when we do such things that offend him, it doesn't mean he doesn't feel it. But his love surpasses what he sees. He sees us beyond what we're doing, and we must learn to do the same. Okay, forgiveness, on the other hand, brings healing physically, mentally, financially, most importantly, spiritually. There's a lot to say about forgiveness, but it's very important. The main thing that God laid in my heart and made me to see was, first of all, two categories. First of all, for a particular group of people, the refusal to forgive has opened the door to ill health, but you don't realize it's connected in any way. And ill health could be mental, emotional, could be physical. Actually, I was reading something some weeks back, and some scientists made reference to the fact that certain ailments are actually traceable to bitterness, rancor, and all of that. Certain types of cancers, particularly, were traceable to unforgiveness, bitterness, anger. The Bible actually permits for us to be angry, but says not to sin. So it means it's going to take quite some effort not to go to bed with that thing. So think about the fact that you didn't just go to bed that day. You went for weeks, for months, for years. So that's the first category. And the second category is for other people, they don't realize that they haven't forgiven. So yeah, you think you have forgiven, but you really haven't. You're finding it difficult to relate. You're finding it difficult. Forgiveness is very simple in this regard. You're giving the person a fresh slate. You're giving the person the opportunity to offend you again. As difficult as that sounds, but that's exactly what it is. So I'm talking to myself as well, to be honest. It's something we deal with every day. If your kids don't get you offended, your boss will get you offended. If your boss doesn't get you offended, your spouse will get you offended. Or that usher or that steward or the person who stands at the door and says welcome or ignores you and doesn't say anything, you will find offense even when they don't know they're offending you. So I think it's something we all need to think about and let God help us. Thank you.
Thank you. What really spoke to me when I got the message was just the fact that this is really serious stuff and that actually it does affect us. And I just thought it's really important that we deal with this. So we're just going to, maybe you just want to bow your head, shut your eyes. And I just want to pray and lead us in some prayer. Because if any of this is spoken to you today, then you don't have to leave this place the way you came in, with the same baggage. You can be free. Lord, I just want to thank you that in you there is forgiveness. Lord, there's nothing that you cannot forgive us. And Lord, I just pray that you'd hear the cries of our heart now in the quietness, in the stillness. Lord, that you'd hear our cries. If there's anything you know, you've said, you've done, you've been involved in, maybe recently or years ago, and you've never dealt with it, then just take the time now to say, Lord Jesus, and name it, would you forgive me? Lord, I thank you that in you there is no condemnation. And I pray, Father, for every single person in this place today that they know would know that you love them, you care for them, and that you do and you will forgive them. Lord, may they be free from condemnation and may they be able to walk in the light and in the freedom of your forgiveness. Amen. And now I just want to pray for those who you know you need to forgive someone. If you know that you've got anger, you've got bitterness, you've got resentment in your heart, and you're holding on to stuff, then just ask Jesus now to help you. To help you to forgive, to help you to forget, to help you to release this person into the freedom of your forgiveness. And maybe you just want to name that to the Lord in the quietness. Father God, would you come and help us today as we choose to forgive others like you have forgiven us. Holy Spirit, come and strengthen us. Come and heal our wounded spirits and teach us to love unconditionally. Lord, we choose to release those who have hurt us, those who've harmed us. Lord, we choose to forgive. And Lord, we ask that you would bless them and draw them close to you. And Lord, I just want to pray that as people ask for your help with forgiveness, that you would help them to forget and to no longer be troubled by this past event. And Lord, I just pray too, Lord, that if there's anything that has taken hold because of our unwillingness to forgive, Lord, if there's any consequences of that, Lord, that you would just set them free. You'd fill them with your spirit, and you bring healing to their body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. If the band would like to come back.